Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and we're so glad that in the busyness of this countdown to Christmas that you're taking time to come and share around the Word of God with us for just a little while here on our website. Thank you for coming today. This is time invested in something that is timeless. Hallelujah. You know why? Because it's the Word of God that we are getting our information from and our instruction from. And the Bible says of the Word that heaven and earth will pass away. All this that seems so permanent, so absolutely eternally certain, is going to pass away, but His Word will never pass away. His Word will abide forever. Praise God. Amen. So I want to talk to you this countdown to Christmas when it's almost upon us. I want to talk to you about the sinner's only but certain hope. The sinner's only but certain hope. I want to preface that with Christmas. Christmas is, if we understand it completely and biblically and spiritually, Christmas represents the sinner's only but certain hope. If your sins aren't forgiven, nothing about this season is meaningful to you. Nothing can be meaningful to you. Amen. The magic of Christmas, as when we were children, that anticipation of gifts brought by, you know who, right? Amen. It was fun while it lasted. I climbed up in the attic of a prefabricated home that it was easy to access the attic. They never finished that home before my mom and dad divorced. Their life fell apart. My life fell apart. I won't go into all that. It made me a very bitter, empty young man until I found Jesus. But let me say this, that magic of Christmas, that feeling of anticipation of gifts and of you-know-who coming, all right? Amen. Well, you won't say it, Brother Venable, because maybe there's some children listening that still are, you know, in that magic state. How do we reconcile this to the truth and the reality? Well, we put the truth beside of it. We play the games with our kids, but we always put the truth so that they grow up knowing that the reason we're celebrating is for something real, more real than any myth could ever hope to be. Amen. While others are celebrating the myth, we're celebrating the man on the cross. While others are celebrating that is just a fable. There are those that would try to turn the very Word of God into fables. But the Bible said we counter that. Those apostles said we countered that because we didn't follow cunningly devised fables, but we handled the Word of life. Praise God. What'd they do? Pick up a book? No. They touched Jesus and Jesus touched them. And I'm just talking about His words, as powerful as they were. He physically touched them. They physically touched Him. But they recognize we were touching the very Word of life, the Word made flesh. Praise God. Amen. So, dear friend of mine, the sinner's only hope, our only hope before we came to Jesus, amen, is Christ. It's Christmas and what it truly represents, therefore. But it is a certain hope. I would like to invite you, by the way, to our church service, 11 a.m. Sunday morning. We're going to have a Christmas celebration by celebrating Jesus Christ and our salvation. And it's going to be a time of singing and worshiping and fellowshipping together. Hallelujah. As we go into the Christmas day, not looking for the magic, not following a myth, but knowing the reality of what it means to be truly saved and have your sins forgiven. Hallelujah. Three things happened at the cross and on the cross. I want to bring them and I want to reiterate them. Number one, a sacrifice was offered. Number two, a price was paid. And number three, a judgment was canceled. You got any shouting shoes? It's time to put them on. And in fact, I don't know why we ever take them off, because what I'm telling you is something that is permanent. It's done. It's finished. It's accomplished. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a preface that I've read before, but I want to read it once again and reiterate it. If we could cut through all the other issues of the Christian faith and go straight to the core of what it means to be a Christian, we would find ourselves standing in front of a cross. It's not a pretty sight. A man hangs on that cross in the throes of death. He gasps for breath. Sweat coats his body. Blood trickles down his hands and feet and drips to the ground. People mock and laugh. Some curse as he dies. A soldier picks up a spear and thrusts it under the rib cage at the man's heart. Water and blood flow mingled down. Then it's over. The gruesome business is done, because the crucifixion is complete. The crucifixion is now complete. I want to read about this, amen, in 1 Corinthians 15:3. What was accomplished when he died on that cross? Listen to it. Moreover, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," the good news, the gospel of grace, you see, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you." This is important today, that we don't get distracted from the joy, the power of our salvation, because we are distracted by the times that we are living. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, looking at the things which are coming off the earth. We see them too, but we need to see them through a different lens. We need to see the same things through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus, and we should have a spirit of holy anticipation of the coming of Christ for His bride, which of which we are a definite part if you are born again today and you are a Christian. Praise the Lord. Amen. We also see it through the lens, amen, of hope in the midst of these troubled times, because it's an opportunity for us. It's an open window for us to share the hope of the gospel with those who are helpless to help themselves and therefore hopeless. This is a message that we need to get out, and Christmas is an opportunity to reiterate the real reason for the season, and that's Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death in our behalf. Listen, "by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." Praise God. According to the Scriptures. Glory to God. I'm glad we have God's Word today. I'm glad we have the Bible today. I'm glad we have a written record preserved by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit Himself. And I'm so glad to declare today, amen, that Christmas means that a sacrifice was offered. Amen. Jesus came to die on that cross. He fulfilled His mission and declared it accomplished. It is finished. It is accomplished. Tetelestai in the Greek, one word that was used also in the financial sense when a debt was paid off and the deed was now cleared of that debt. It was stamped with the word tetelestai, the very word that Jesus cried from the cross. Amen. And it meant the sin debt. Our sin debt has been paid in full. Glory to God. I love the old song, and I love all the old songs. I love the new ones too, but in this particular old song, amen, I bought a debt I couldn't pay. It was growing every day. Jesus paid it all for me. I could never pay it. You can never pay it. We can't do penance. We can't do anything in self-sacrifice. We can't live some kind of monk-like life on a mountain and starve ourselves almost half to death in fasting. We can't pay our sin debt. We will have to pay in eternity if we do not receive the one who did pay our debt so we could be saved. You can never pay it. There's no religious act of self-sacrifice that could ever pay it. But it's already been paid by Jesus. But we can come to Christ, amen, and receive Him as our Savior because He paid the debt. That's why He has the exclusive. And He says it Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by Me. It was His blood that God accepted, proved it by raising Him from the dead. Hallelujah. That's why you can't just pick a way to heaven. You have to come through the way that God has provided. God provided the Lamb, and the Lamb was Jesus Christ. Amen. And that sin debt was paid by Him and Him alone. Amen. A sacrifice was offered. A price was paid. And what was the price? The precious blood of Jesus. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. And then because of that, a judgment was canceled. The judgment, the wrath of God that abides on every person that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Amen. Every person who believes not and therefore hasn't been forgiven, the wrath of God abides upon them, the justifiable anger of God. But thank God, when we are saved, when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, we're also saved from the wrath to come, that we might have what the Bible calls boldness in the day of wrath. We don't have to fear the tribulation, which is the outpouring of the justifiable anger of God. We do not have to fear the last great white throne judgment when the final consignment to hell of the false prophet, of the Antichrist, and of all the unjust dead which shall stand and account before God. Amen. Only those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, but when you come to Jesus, hallelujah, and you understand that a sacrifice was offered, through that sacrifice a price was paid, and because you receive Him as your Savior, repented of your sin, a judgment was canceled against you. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend of mine. We have received what the Bible calls theologically, biblically, the atonement. That's what the sacrificial offering of Jesus made for us on the cross. The only mediator between God and man offered Himself to His Father, who had sent Him to stand in behalf of lost people like you and me. The only way of salvation for sinful man is the provision God hath made. Only Christ, by His atoning work, brings reconciliation between God and man. That's the atonement. That's what it means. He atoned for our sins. Hallelujah. He was the propitiation, a word you don't hear very much, but it's in the Scripture in the New Covenant. To propitiate means there's someone very angry, but someone as a go-between, as a mediator, assuages their anger. Hallelujah. Absorbs in Christ's part our anger, His anger upon Himself, that he would be angry at us no more, that he could atone for us so we could be forgiven. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! Should be our anthem, not just at Christmas, but throughout our entire life, not just here, but even when we get to heaven. 10,000 years, it'll just be started. 10,000 years, it'll just be begun. I don't believe there'll be a day go by in eternity that we're not filled with gratitude and high and holy praise for the one that took our place so that we could live in his place that he prepared for us forever with him and with the Father and with our loved ones and with each other forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. In that sacrifice, you see, Christ took our guilt on himself. Without committing sin, he underwent the wrath of God due us when he made full payment for our sin in human flesh. By laying down his life, he bore the penalty of our sin deserved, a penalty we would endure by ourselves were it not for Christ's mediation. But thank God, he is, was, and always will be the mediator between God and man. His death was substitutionary. It was vicarious. In no other way than in human death could the justice of God be exercised against human sin. But it had to be a perfect human who never sinned to offer blood that was not tainted by sin. In no other object could anyone endure the wrath of God than by a human representative and pay the sin debt. No other person could bear such a load than God the Son. Christ's redeeming ransom, friend, secures for you and me a remission of sins and then all the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Listen. The blessing of God, the favor of God, before any material consideration is even, well, it's not even worthy to be compared. Even the sufferings of this present fallen world are not worthy to be compared for the glory that shall be revealed in us when Jesus comes for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, this atonement is central to worship and song. That's why we're inviting you to come this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Don't get too busy for Christ this Christmas. Let's just celebrate in song. Let's celebrate in worship. And let's do it with each other. Hallelujah, as brethren. So come and be with us this Sunday at 11 a.m. And let's have fellowship afterwards. And let's get ready to not find the past magic of our childhood, oh, but the present majesty of our understanding and appreciation and appropriation of our salvation as we celebrate our Savior who made it all possible this Christmas and every Christmas season until he comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. The atonement is central to worship and song, to preaching, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, to mission, ministry. It's fatal to reject it and a great sin to neglect it. That's why the Bible said, how shall we escape? What? The judgment to come. If we neglect such a great offer of salvation, of this, such a great provision to be saved. We can't save ourselves. There's no circumventing the fact that we are sinners in the need of Savior. But thank God, God hath provided a Lamb. He has sent Jesus to be our Savior. That's why the angel's message was heralded throughout all heaven and shook the earth and is still earth-shaking news. Amen. Hallelujah. For unto you I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. and the message of a Savior being sent is such good news. Man, ain't that news. Glory be to God. Peace on earth. There's a reason that peace is offered. Every person on the planet has an opportunity to be made right with God, to be reconciled to God, to have peace with God, and then experience the peace of God. Hallelujah. And in the midst of the chaos and the crisis in the world, what a gift it is. The gift of righteousness, the gift of God's Son, and the gift of peace that the world will never know outside of the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, and the Kingdom of Peace, Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Listen, it's fatal to reject this offer and a great sin to neglect it. What is supreme to God and the only basis of our approach to Him? In the cross, the Father and the Son glorified each other. And in it, we as Christians glorify both. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say something in closing. The New Testament writers said that on that cross a sacrifice was made. They said on that cross a ransom was paid. They said on that cross the sentence against us was canceled. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I know that's an old secular song about my baby's coming back tomorrow. Well, I still got my baby. Hallelujah. If I'd lost her, she's coming back. That'd be good news. That my wife of 63 years was coming back to me. Thank God she never left me. Amen. But even if she did precede me to heaven, she's coming back when He comes back. And He's coming back. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Why did He do what He did for us? The Scriptures are unanimous in their answer. He did it because He loved us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You understand then why Isaac Watts wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from His head, His hands, and His feet, sorrow and love flow down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" So rich a crown. Oh, He wore a crown of thorns to that cross, but when He returns, amen, He's going to be wearing a crown of glory. Hallelujah. And we're going to get the privilege of taking our crowns that are given to us for our faithfulness to Him and throwing them at His feet. I'm going to read the rest of this song, these verses. It says, "See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." That's why the Apostle Paul said, if you've been saved and you understand the cost of it, that a price was paid, a sacrifice given, a price paid, a judgment canceled, all because of what He did on that cross. Amen. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. And be no more conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, exemplify, demonstrate, live out, flesh out. Hallelujah. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Hallelujah. May your Christmas be holy. May it be happy. May it be merry. May it be celebrated as we celebrate Jesus Christ.